Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. It's always great to spend part of Sunday afternoon with you. We have a great show today, so we're going to get right into it. We're going to be speaking with former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney later on in the show. And right after the break, we'll be speaking to Country Joe McDonald. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
March 19th is the anniversary of the tragic invasion of Iraq. We will be going into the seventh year of that needless and senseless war, and we cannot stand by and do nothing while it continues. Please join Cindy Sheehan and her special guests, Country Joe McDonald and Daniel Ellsberg, to jam up the war machine on Thursday, March 19th at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland.
Come on, mothers throughout the land, pack your boys off to Vietnam. Come on, fathers, and don't hesitate. Send your sons off before it's too late. You can be the first ones in your block. Have your boy come home in a box.
And it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for?
Make sure to attend and show your support at 7 p.m. Admission is $10. For more ticket information, go to green960.com and click events. Let's renew our commitment to peace. All proceeds go to support Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox radio show here on Green 960.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. As I promised you before the break, we'll be speaking with legendary anti-war musician Country Joe McDonald. Thank you for joining us, Country Joe.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's nice to talk to you again. I haven't seen you. We used to run into each other every once in a while on the anti-war circuit, especially in Berkeley. But please tell my listeners what you're doing right now.
Well, mostly I've been doing my tribute to Woody Guthrie's show. It's a theatrical piece, spoken word and song. But recently I premiered a new Florence Nightingale show, which is also theatrical, spoken word and song. And both of those keep me pretty busy.
Are you, like, performing them in the Bay Area anywhere soon?
They can always look at my website, countryjoe.com, and they can find out what I'm up to.
Tell us a little bit about what you were doing during the Vietnam War.
Well, I was working with my band. I had a rock band then called Country Joe and the Fish, and we played all over the country and all over Europe. And then I worked with, in the protest sort of thing, with Vietnam Veterans Against the War a lot, more than anybody else, I suppose.
And what was it that led you to want to protest or use your talents, your considerable talents, in the anti-war or pro-justice movements? What led you towards that?
Well, I grew up with protest music, I guess you would call it, because my parents were left-wingers and into the union movement, and so we had Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie music in my house and other music, too, that was of a political, social nature. So part of what I always did was like that, and I found that I had a ready audience in the anti-war people. I mostly hung around with military veterans. That's who I did most of my stuff with.
Well, because you were in the military, weren't you?
Because I was in the military, and I found that civilians did not really understand the military experience, and so I like to be with people who understood the military experience.
Were you drafted?
No, I volunteered when I was 17 years old. I went to the United States Navy and was trained as an air traffic controller, and I was in Japan for 2 years.
Were you a Vietnam-era vet? Was it before, or...?
You would call me a Vietnam-era veteran by the Veterans Administration definition of era. I was in from 1959 to 1962, but I never saw anything that you would call a war. I'm not a war veteran, not a combat veteran.
Just a Vietnam-era veteran. Well, I know you and I know many, many veterans who have been in war, Vietnam, Iraq, wherever, Korea, you know, whatever war there has been. But you and I met back in July of 2004. It was just 3 months after my son was killed, July 4th. And we had an event at the Berkeley Unitarian Universalist Church. Do you remember that?
Very vividly, I remember it quite, yeah. Sure.
Yes, it was such an honor to meet you. And there was two other parents whose children had been killed in Iraq, and we all spoke, and you sang, and we had an event there at the Berkeley Unitarian Universalist Church, who they've been very anti-war and very active in the movement. So you haven't slowed down at all. You're still very outspoken against the war. You're still helping people and causes. As a matter of fact, on March 19th is the 6th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, and we're going to be together in Oakland at the Grand Lake Theater to commemorate that anniversary, but not only to commemorate that anniversary, but to really rally people to not lay down our signs, not to take off our marching shoes, but to still be active against both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and against the current administration. So I just want to tell everybody, if you want to hear Country Joe, it'll be March 19th at the Grand Lake Theater. We're starting at 7 o'clock, and Joe's our headliner, and he's going to be closing the show for us. So we want to invite everybody to the Grand Lake. And people can go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com or Green960.com for more information. Is there anything else you want to tell my listeners, Joe?
Well, there's another thing I'm involved in that's pretty exciting, actually. It's there's a company in Germany called Bear Records, and they make box sets of CDs with booklets that are pretty, explain the CDs. And I'm involved in a 13 CD set of music of the Vietnam era.
Oh, awesome.
And it will contain two CDs, which is music of military veterans of the era.
Can people get more information about that on your website?
If they go to my website, I'm going to post something pretty soon. It probably won't come out for about 1 year, but if they go to my website, they'll pick up something about it.
And please tell my listeners your website one more time, Joe.
It's very simple. It's just countryjoe.com. Just Google Country Joe and they'll turn it up.
Well, Joe, it was great talking to you. And I invite my listeners to go to your website and to come out on March 19th to the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland. So thanks for being on with us, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
The underwriter of today's show is Oakland's Grand Lake Theater. This spectacular vintage movie palace is one of the last independent theaters in the Bay Area. The Grand Lake has been the venue for countless live political events during the last 8 years in constant opposition to the Bush administration and is famous for its politically charged marquee messages. It will be hosting several very special events in support of Cindy's Soapbox during the next few months. If you have never been to the Grand Lake, please patronize this beautiful theater and see a film there soon. If you have visited there before, please come back again. It is important to choose to support a unique theater like this instead of the soulless multiplex. The Grand Lake never shows commercials before the movie, and fresh popcorn with real butter is free every Monday through Thursday. On Friday and Saturday nights, the mighty Wurlitzer organ is played in the main auditorium. Schedule information can be found at GrandLakeTheater.com. That's GrandLakeTheater.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox here on Green 960. As I promised before the break, my guest for today's show is courageous Congresswoman, ex-Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia, welcome to my show.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you, Cindy.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on. as always, it's great to talk to you. I very proudly and am very proud of the fact that I supported you in the 2008 presidential elections, you and Rosa Clemente, your vice presidential running mate. I go all over the country and I talk about how you stood up to the Israeli government, not succumbed or sold out to the Israeli government when you tried to go to Gaza, and how you've always been right on the issues. So I want you to tell my listeners what happened when you tried to get to Gaza to deliver humanitarian aid to that country. And that was during the very height of the Israeli bombing of Gaza, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. And let me also just say that I'm very proud to have your support, to have had your support, and to have supported you. And I think you need to be our congresswoman. You definitely are our voice. And I believe you showed us the power of one. People talk about it. But there you were, a grieving mother, and you demanded to get the answers to your question. And it didn't matter how long it took. It didn't matter how high you had to go. You wanted to go directly to the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, to get those answers. And, of course, now the entire country knows that the decisions that they made were based all on a bunch of lies that were concocted for the purpose of putting our young men and women into harm's way to occupy a foreign country. Now we're occupying two foreign countries. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've got our bases on in over 100 countries around the world. So we have a lot of work to do. And what I tried to let people know is that you can't get a different outcome by doing the same thing. You got to do something different. And I was proud that you chose to run as an independent, to run against Nancy Pelosi, because ultimately Nancy Pelosi was the voice and the embodiment of the Democratic Party's collaboration with all of that. And now we see it being brought out more than ever. We see that the Democrats are carrying on the Republican line, whether it's torture, rendition for torture, stalling on producing the emails from the Bush administration, illegal wiretapping, all of that doesn't matter, and the drones that are going into Pakistan and killing people. Yeah. I mean, it's business as usual for the victims of U.S. policy. They haven't seen a change, and they haven't seen hope. And so we have to keep going. And so I'm happy to be on your show today, because we just keep going and we keep getting our message out.
Well, Cynthia, you got a little bit off the subject of my question, but now that we're on this subject, I'm just recently enraged over, first of all, I asked George Bush what noble cause my son died. Now the Obama administration is extending the occupation of Iraq. They're sending, even though he said that was a dumb war, he's not closing it out and bringing our troops home, sending more troops to Afghanistan. And what noble cause are the mothers of Iraq and Afghanistan losing their children for? What noble cause will the mothers of our soldiers be losing their sons and daughters for? But over the weekend or last Friday, members of the Obama administration, the Justice Department, were in federal court, I believe here in San Francisco, arguing and defending John Yoo and their torture policies. And how can people still defend that or support that, even though Obama didn't formulate these policies? To me, it would show integrity to repudiate them and hold the people accountable who have broken international law, who have broken, demolished our Constitution. But Obama and his administration are continuing that instead of overturning the abominations of the Bush administration.
You're absolutely right. And so that's why I think I know I'm getting in my email box messages from folks saying, I'm sorry I voted for Obama, I should have voted for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're getting the same kinds of messages.
Oh, absolutely.
But you see,
already
it's too
good.
Late. The day after Election Day, it's too late.
Right.
Because everything is geared toward getting those votes on Election Day. So we have to do a little bit better job of educating the voters prior to the election what to expect, and it's hard to go against that media machine, so I'm glad you're in the media. But now, with respect to Gaza, I was on this boat a pleasure boat carrying 3 tons of medical supplies, and the day after the day of the start of the bombing of Gaza, I received a phone call from the co-founder of the Free Gaza Movement asking
right.
me if I would go to Gaza tomorrow. And so I said yes before I even thought about it. And so then when I began packing and everything, and then I go to my mom and my dad, and then that's when my mom begged me not to go, and
mm-hmm.
then there was a lot of hand-holding, and she talked to the co-founder of the Free Gaza Movement, and he assured her everything's going to be fine. And
your mom sounds like my kids. My kids always do that to me when I'm going to the Middle East. But
and my dad said, the last thing as I walked out the door, he said, "You're going to be sitting ducks."
Oh, and your dad turned out to be right.
And my dad turned out to be right. That's right. So we go out there, and, you know, it's just a pleasure boat. We've got 3 doctors on board. We've got the 3 tons of medical supplies. We had CNN reporter on board. We had Al Jazeera on board. It was the first time CNN had joined the Dignity, but the Dignity had set sail successfully and made it to Gaza 5 other times. So
right.
no one expected that we were going to experience what we experienced. And then in the middle of the night, in the middle of international waters, out of nowhere, boom!
Wow.
And we're awakened, and then the Israelis communicated with us, of course, after the fact, and told us to turn around and go back, or else go back to Larnaca, is what they said,
uh-huh.
or else we are going to fire on you. And we didn't have enough gas to go back to Larnaca, and the captain communicated that to the Israelis. It didn't matter. They kept saying it. And so then the boat is taking on water. The boat is severely damaged. You can still see it if you go to CNN.com. You can see, the boat's actually been totaled.
Mm-hmm.
So then the weirdness began because
it was weird after you were you were around.
Yeah, because the Israelis were lying. And the Israelis told lie after lie after lie. Obviously they panicked. And well, at least I think they panicked, because I don't think they really thought that the CNN reporter would be so obstinate.
Mm-hmm.
He was literally arguing with CNN headquarters, "No, that's not what happened, and I'm not going to say that," you know? And
uh-huh.
and he just kept saying, "No, that's not what happened. The Israelis are lying." He just, you know, he just kept saying that over and over again. Every time the Israelis would come up with a new story, he would have to refute the story. And the most ludicrous story was, well, there were several of them, but that our captain was responsible because he was trying to outmaneuver the warship, and he damaged their boat.
Uh-huh.
And but the only thing that saved us, really, was the fact that the boat was an old boat. It was made of wood
right.
construction.
Right.
And as a result, what I'm told is that these modern boats are made of fiberglass. If it had been a fiberglass boat, we'd be out there in the middle of the sea right now.
Jeez.
But because it was a wooden structure, it was able to withstand the the ramming, and we were able to limp into Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
After the Lebanese military agreed to rescue us.
Well, I heard about it by email, and then I saw it on CNN, and I saw you standing, I guess you were on the shore, and the boat was behind you, and you made a very strong statement against the Israeli you know, bombing of Gaza. And I contrast that with Obama during that entire time saying, I'm not going to comment on it because there's only one president at a time, even though he felt he could comment on everything else during the transition period. And another thing is you don't say that you can't comment on something because you're not president. He was a senator at the time. And, you know, we're all citizens of the world. We're all American citizens. We can comment on policy. But or on current events or what's happening on foreign policy. But then what I feel like our role is, the grassroots or people like you and I, is that we don't have to compromise our integrity or our values.
Yeah.
You didn't even do that when you were a politician in Congress. You always stood up for what's right. You always stood up for the people and all the people of the world. You know, the people of your district, I think, were very lucky to have somebody who recognized that, you know, we're all interconnected, and what we do in Gaza or what we do in Iraq or what we do in Afghanistan affects us in, you know, places like New Orleans during Katrina. And
that's
and
right.
With people like Oscar Grant getting murdered by the police state in America is the same thing as innocent people in Gaza, Baghdad, and Afghanistan being killed. So I was just so, you know, first of all, shocked that CNN would put such a strong statement against Israel on, but thankful that you were there standing up for the people of Gaza so publicly. And it was awful what happened to you, but it was an opportunity to make a statement that was contrary to what we hear usually from our politicians here in the United States.
That's exactly right. And in fact, you know, you're so right. CNN actually censored my comments for the remainder of the day. The only time that they actually were presented to the American people in their entirety was when the one time when they were given live. And you're so right. CNN just they didn't cover our event. I don't know why they sent the journalist there, you know, if they, I guess, so that they could spin the story. And I guess if we had been successful in getting into Gaza, they would have spun
right
that there was no bombing going on, you know. But thank goodness they sent the right journalist. They sent a real journalist who refused to allow his report to be tampered with.
Well, and thank God also for YouTube and the internet, and those things can be captured, and they can't put a spin on things anymore, because we are citizens and we're citizen journalists. Well, we have to take a break right now. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about what you're doing right now and the Reconstruction Party and any other, you know, activism that you're currently doing that my listeners can plug into. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Cynthia McKinney.
First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. If you would like to keep your voice on the air, and you feel this show is important, please contribute now. Go to www.cindysheehanssoapbox.com. That's CindySheehanssoapbox.com. The phone is 562-912-5860. That number again is 562-912-5860. Please help us keep this show on the air. Your generous contribution is appreciated.
March 19th is the anniversary of the tragic invasion of Iraq. We will be going into the seventh year of that needless and senseless war, and we cannot stand by and do nothing while it continues. Please join me, Cindy Sheehan, and my special guests, Country Joe McDonald and Daniel Ellsberg, on Thursday, March 19th at 7 p.m. at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland to jam up the war machine.
Come on, mothers throughout the land, pack your boys off to Vietnam. Come on, fathers, and don't hesitate. Send your sons off before it's too late. You can be the first ones in your block. Now have your boy come home in a box. And it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for?
For ticket information, you can go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com or email me at Cindy@CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Let's renew our commitment to peace. All proceeds go to support Cindy Sheehan Soapbox radio show here on Green 960. Hope you can make it.
March 21st will be an International Day of Action on the 6th anniversary of the criminal invasion of Iraq. On Saturday, March 21st, we will gather at 11 a.m. at Embarcadero Plaza in San Francisco for a mass march and rally to say, "Occupation is a crime. Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine." Volunteers and donations are needed. Call the Answer Coalition at 415-821-6545. That's 415-821-6545. Or visit answercoalition.org.
Hey, listen up. March 19th is the 6th anniversary of this unjust, illegal, immoral war on Iraq. Over 1 million Iraqis have been killed and 4 million turned into refugees. There are still almost 150,000 troops in Iraq, and another 17,000 are being sent to Afghanistan, all in the name of the so-called war on terror. Iraq and Afghanistan are now Obama's wars. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Where are you going to be on March 19th? Are you going to be in the streets of Berkeley with "The World Can't Wait" saying "Stop U.S. occupations and torture for empire, U.S. out of Iraq and Afghanistan, no wars on Iran, Pakistan, Gaza," or are you at peace with being at war? Are these wars any less bad just because we have a new commander-in-chief? Look, if you thought Barack Obama was going to end the war, think again. Listen to what he's actually said he's going to do. He said he's going to leave 80,000 troops in Iraq. He said he's going to send 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan. He said he wants to increase the size of the U.S. military by 92,000 more troops, sending more of our young people to kill and die.
But you don't have to go along. It's immoral to wait and see, hoping maybe someday Obama will withdraw some of the troops. Do not begin accepting and supporting the very crimes that you hated so much under the Bush regime. If you care about humanity and don't want the war to continue even one more day, then get in the streets. This Thursday, March 19th in Berkeley, on the 6th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, join us for a rally at 3 o'clock at Martin Luther King Park next to Berkeley High. At 4 p.m., we're going to march. To get involved, call us now at 415-864-5153 or email us at sf@worldcantwait.org.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox here on Green 960. We're speaking with Cynthia McKinney. As always, you can get a hold of me at Cindy@CindySheehanSoapbox.com, and we'll give Cynthia an opportunity to tell you all how you can stay in touch with her also. So, Cynthia, you're back from Gaza, and you went, where, Malaysia? Is that where
yes.
you just were? What were you doing there?
Yes, I went to Malaysia because I have been a part of the Malaysia Peace Organization, which was founded by the former Prime Minister Tun Mahathir for the purpose of holding accountable those who are responsible for violations of international law involving war.
Mm-hmm.
And So we started off with the victims. I actually had the opportunity to see the victims of Abu Ghraib. Now, I have lawyer friends all over the world who there actually is a court case right now in the United States that somehow they've kept very quiet, but it's a friend of mine who's doing that case about Abu Ghraib. But it's one thing to read about, you know, what the United States is doing,
right,
what our tax dollars are doing. It's another thing to actually see people who have been victimized.
Right. I've spoken to people from that were in Abu Ghraib and in Guantanamo, and it's horrifying and it's gut-wrenching. And really sickening to know what our government is doing to people.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's incumbent upon us to not accept the lies. There's got to be, you know, we just came from a very slick, came through a very slick political campaign with a lot of TV ads, very well executed. But the bottom line is that on 2 days after President Obama was sworn in, he signed the executive order to continue the drones attacking Pakistan.
Yep.
And I think on that first drone, there were like that first drone attack, there were like 20 or so people killed. And then on Valentine's Day, another 31 people were killed.
Right.
So now, you know, those Pakistani the family members of those who were killed, they don't care if it's a Bush drone or if it's an Obama drone.
Right.
They've lost their loved ones.
Right.
And so, you know, so much for change. There hasn't really been the kind of change that I think people were looking for, and people were led to believe that they would get. And that's why the blackout of my campaign and your campaign was so purposeful.
Right.
Because while we were telling the people the truth, the big media moguls didn't want the people to know the truth because they're all a part of this conspiracy of silence.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, my the YouTube, we've got a lot of YouTube video available on the internet, but the One Gaza incident has more YouTube clicks. Somebody put it up, and it's got more clicks or views, I should say, than all of my YouTube stuff during the Power to the People campaign combined.
Right, right. You never know what's going to, like, spark that kind of thing.
That's
the unfortunate thing about when I said thank God for the internet, thank God for YouTube. You never know what, you know, you gave many powerful campaign performances. I shouldn't say performances, speeches, rallies or whatever. And I saw, you know, many of them and very inspiring, something that I think your campaign with Rosa was historic. Both women of color. Rosa's a young, you know, hip hop scholar,
yes.
And you energized many, many young people. But to, you know, if we could use that power and channel it more effectively to even reach out to more young people, because they're the ones with the energy. They're the ones that have everything at stake for what
That's
Obama's
right.
doing. And what makes me upset is that all their energy was channeled towards, you know, really this change that is just continuity. And a lot of what bothers me about the Obama administration, among a lot of things, is that many young people of color are now joining the military thinking that they have, you know, a leader that they can trust. And and Obama, no matter what we think of him, you know, he's just a small cog in the military-industrial complex. And, you know, whoever is president, the military-industrial complex is going to misuse and abuse our soldiers. And not only are people of color joining, but people who are caught up in this horrible economy that think they don't have any alternative, but they're joining the military. And, you know, it's very upsetting to me that the people of the robber class can always use the robbed class this way. And we just really need to, you know, just to be able to spread the word and to do it contra to the mainstream media and the mainstream who, like you said, they do not want our voices to get out there. But talk about your Power to the People campaign, because it really is a grassroots driven campaign.
Right. And that's why we called it the Power to the People campaign, because we wanted anyone who felt that the two-party system was no longer functioning them, representing their values, to feel free to join with us. And so we had people from across the entire political spectrum. We had former Republicans who could no longer put their faith in the Republican Party, and they were supporters. We had former Democrats. We had actually current Democrats,
right,
who just couldn't bring themselves to cast that vote for the Democratic Party in November once their preferred candidate in the primary was eliminated. So so now, you know, I think what we did was we launched a campaign, and it turned out to be the kind of campaign that could have captured the imaginations of a lot of people, but it turned out instead to be a campaign that was launched in the most difficult of circumstances, under the most difficult circumstances. And so with that having been said, then those who were our supporters, we now know, you know, those are the ones whose faith was unshakable, one, in the ability of third-party candidacy to represent their values and to participate. So they still hadn't, and in fact, we had people who had dropped out of this political system altogether come back in and register to vote,
right,
just because they finally had someone who did represent their values. Now, if you look at Obama's economic team, one of the things that is quite disconcerting to me is if you look at what happened with the Soviet Union and then the fall of the Soviet Union, and you had these predators, basically, who went into Russia.
Like Lawrence Summers?
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. That entire crowd.
Right.
And basically, they took over the state enterprises and created the oligarchs that Putin is trying to battle now.
Right.
There is something that ought to belong to the totality of the Russian people.
Right, the common good.
And that's right. It's, you know, it's the Russian patrimony. And the same goes here, is that we shouldn't see the privatization of everything that we know to be the United States, the public airwaves, the public transportation grid, the, you know, all of these things stand to be privatized. Our airports, our hospitals, everything.
Our schools.
Our schools.
You know, when Obama said charter schools in his non-State of the Union a couple of weeks ago, it just made my heart sink, because you know how what that's doing in such places as New Orleans after Katrina. You know, it's a very ruling class elite system that they're trying to put into place.
That's exactly right. And we have to understand just exactly what's going on. I don't want a small group of oligarchs to be created by this crowd that's the same crowd that did the same thing in Russia. And who's going to be the kind of leader, who's going to provide the kind of leadership that will counter these moves? I'm very proud to say that we put out an economic program that included the nationalization, and people talk about nationalization. What we are seeing now is not nationalization. We're seeing the socialization of all of the bad things,
right,
that these bankster fraudsters did, but we're not sharing in the wealth,
right,
of what they did.
Right.
So what I propose is that the Federal Reserve become an entity, a public entity owned by the people of the United States, that we have government-owned banks, that the currency, the U.S. dollar, be reflective of the industriousness of the people of this country rather than a debt
Right,
to
not based on credit.
Bankers.
Right, not based on credit, not inflated, out of control. We had the same program in the Cindy for Congress campaign too. But you know, I would like to even see the Federal Reserve owned by the people, but owned locally by the people, not a you know, national entity, but more locally controlled by local boards, and not you know, a behemoth like it is right now.
That's exactly right. And so, but these ideas aren't being put on the table. And in fact, what you find is that the acceptable range of a public discourse is very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
You will never, like, for example, how John Conyers had to fight to get the doctors invited, the single payer doctors invited
mm-hmm.
to the health summit.
Right.
Okay, so now they're invited. Okay, well, that's one battle, but I don't know that that is the battle that they're invited, because ultimately the Congress is the one that controls what legislation is passed. So I wouldn't go begging the president to let some folks go into a meeting, while I guess it's important that they are there, and I certainly don't object that they are there.
Right.
But if you really want single payer, then organize 218 members of Congress in the House and the requisite number in the Senate, and which would be 51, and then present that legislation to the president and dare him to veto it.
Oh, you know, you're absolutely right. It just bothers me so much that we have lost almost all checks and balances in this government. You know, we're supposed to be a three-part government. We really, it seems like we're getting to be a dictatorship that rolls over every 4 to 8 years. And we only have a minute left. And, you know, you said we have to have leadership.
Oh, yes.
But with Obama, you know, Obama appointing Bush rollovers, Clinton rollovers for his financial team, his foreign policy team. It looks like he's being led more than being a leader. But please tell my listeners how they can keep in touch with you and keep abreast of what you're doing right now.
Basically, what we're doing is we're trying to start what we're calling the dignity movement, because I think that's what voters were looking for when they went to the polls and voted in November.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of dignity for our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is basically where my energies are going in between the speaking engagements and the travel.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want people to do, people can reach me at mckinney.cynthia@gmail.com. And I do try to read all and respond to all of my emails that come through. But you will be hearing more about dignity in the weeks to come.
Well, we just need to take that energy, and we need to be there when inevitably people are already starting to be disappointed.
Yes.
In Obama, and we need to be there to pick up the pieces, and we need to be a very organized and honest force with integrity. Our messages never waver, and that's what, you know, one thing that we have going for us. But Cynthia, thank you for being on my show. I hope you'll come back again, and we can talk about this dignity movement, because I think you're right. I think that's what people are craving right now.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
And we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after the break with my Soapbox Rant. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox on Green 960.
March 19th is the anniversary of the tragic invasion of Iraq. We will be going into the seventh year of that needless and senseless war, and we cannot stand by and do nothing while it continues. Please join Cindy Sheehan and her special guests, Country Joe McDonald and Daniel Ellsberg, to jam up the war machine on Thursday, March 19th at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland.
Come on, mothers throughout the land, pack your boys off to Vietnam. Come on, fathers, and don't hesitate. Send your sons off before it's too late. You can be the first ones in your block. Have your boy come home in a box.
Then it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Make sure to attend and show your support at 7 p.m. Admission is $10. For more ticket information, go to green960.com and click events. Let's renew our commitment to peace. All proceeds go to support Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox Radio Show here on Green 960.
The underwriter of today's show is Oakland's Grand Lake Theater. This spectacular vintage movie palace is one of the last independent theaters in the Bay Area. The Grand Lake has been the venue for countless live political events during the last 8 years in constant opposition to the Bush administration and is famous for its politically charged marquee messages. It will be hosting several very special events in support of Cindy's Soapbox during the next few months. If you have never been to the Grand Lake, please patronize this beautiful theater and see a film there soon. If you have visited there before, please come back again. It is important to choose to support a unique theater like this instead of the soulless multiplex. The Grand Lake never shows commercials before the movie, and fresh popcorn with real butter is free every Monday through Thursday. On Friday and Saturday nights, the mighty Wurlitzer organ is played in the main auditorium. Schedule information can be found at GrandLakeTheater.com. That's GrandLakeTheater.com.
Hey, listen up. March 19th is the 6th anniversary of this unjust, illegal, immoral war on Iraq. Over 1 million Iraqis have been killed and 4 million turned into refugees. There are still almost 150,000 troops in Iraq and another 17,000 are being sent to Afghanistan, all in the name of the so-called War on Terror. Iraq and Afghanistan are now Obama's wars. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Where are you going to be on March 19th? Are you going to be in the streets of Berkeley with the world can't wait saying stop U.S. occupations and torture for empire? U.S. out of Iraq and Afghanistan? No wars on Iran, Pakistan, Gaza? Or are you at peace with being at war? Are these wars any less bad just because we have a new commander-in-chief? Look, if you thought Barack Obama was going to end the war, think again. Listen to what he's actually said he's going to do. He said he's going to leave 80,000 troops in Iraq. He said he's going to send 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan. He said he wants to increase the size of the U.S. military by 92,000 more troops, sending more of our young people to kill and die.
But you don't have to go along. It's immoral to wait and see, hoping maybe someday Obama will withdraw some of the troops. Do not begin accepting and supporting the very crimes that you hated so much under the Bush regime. If you care about humanity and don't want the war to continue even one more day, then get in the streets. This Thursday, March 19th in Berkeley, on the 6th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, join us for a rally at 3 o'clock at Martin Luther King Park next to Berkeley High. At 4 p.m., we're going to march. To get involved, call us now at 415-864-5153 or email us at sf@worldcantwait.org.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. It's hard constantly swimming against the current. When the Bush regime tortures, it's bad, very bad. But when former Justice Department employee John Yoo formulated the policies of torture under Bush, it was very, 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 very bad also. When Obama's regime defends John Yoo in a court of law against a lawsuit from Jose Padilla, who was tortured for 3 years when he was under incarceration by the Navy, well, many people rushed to defend Obama, saying things like, just because his Justice Department is defending John Yoo doesn't mean Obama agrees with it. Or, if Obama repudiates torture or the unitary executive theory promulgated under Bush-Cheney, then the, quote, next guy, end quote, may just reinstate them. Are you effing kidding me? The defenders of Obama and his defense of taking our rights away are grasping for straws, and they should just let the straws go. I feel like Winston Smith, the protagonist in Orwell's 1984, who was tortured until he said 2 + 2 = 5. I'm not being tortured, but the stunning hypocrisy of the Obama supporters is wearing me out. Where's the integrity of vision? Where's the defense of liberty and humanity as we did under the Bush horror? We must recognize that the forces on the top line up against us on the bottom. We need to recognize this before it's too late, because you know what? War does not equal peace. Ignorance does not equal bliss. And 2 + 2 certainly does not equal 5. Our Ask Cindy question today comes from one of my listeners. This person goes under the internet name of Wave. And Wave wanted to know how my experience in Venezuela was. Well, in January of 2006, I went to Venezuela to take part in the World Social Forum. And while I was there, I met with many Venezuelans and many people around the world. People come from all over the world to go to these social forums. I was able to experience some Venezuelan life, talk to some regular Venezuelans, and see what President Hugo Chavez has been doing in that country since he was elected president. Literacy has gone up. The poverty rate has gone down. There's way far to go in Venezuela. Some of the things that the Chavez regime have done aren't very comfortable to me. But one thing I do know is that it's a sovereign country. And Hugo Chavez has been democratically elected. He's not a communist dictator, as some people want to tell me. I've already talked about that on the show before. So now I want to talk about the experience of actually meeting President Chavez. I was invited to the presidential palace along with a few other activists. And we got to sit down with President Chavez, who's very knowledgeable. He's very articulate. He's very hospitable, very welcoming. He's certainly a people person. And he showed us around the presidential palace where the coup took place in, I believe it was April of 2002. We got to experience that movie, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, up close. And when he was showing us where events took place of that day and showing us around the palace, it was certainly a very special experience. And I want people in the United States to know that other countries may have different ways of doing things than America does, but that doesn't mean that those countries are bad or the leaders are evil. And I would invite my fellow Americans to travel and to experience other countries and other cultures and not to be so judgmental about them. Your soapbox assignment for the week is to get out and do something on the upcoming anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. We have to let our voices be heard. You can go to World Can't Wait website. They're doing something on the 19th around the country. You can go to Answer Coalition, ANSWER. They're doing something on the 21st. It's just very important to do something to let your voice be heard. Well, that's it for this week's Soapbox. I hope you enjoyed it. I'd like to thank you for listening as always. I'd like to especially thank my guests, Cynthia McKinney and Country Joe McDonald. I'd like to thank Scott Cuddy, my engineer. This is Cindy Sheehan. I'm not speaking truth to power anymore. I'm speaking the power of the people to the power of greed and arrogance. Talk to you next week.
First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. If you would like to keep your voice on the air, and you feel this show is important, please contribute now. Go to www.cindysheehanssoapbox.com. That's CindySheehanssoapbox.com. The phone is 562-912-5860. That number again is 562-912-5860. Please help us keep this show on the air. Your generous contribution is appreciated.